Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner, and together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. Today, we're going to be discussing something we've talked about on a few of the previous episodes of Beauty and the Brain. We'll probably talk about on several, though, coming up in years to come and probably in all different ways, but talking today about the GLP-1s again.
Yeah, we get lots of questions about these new weight loss medications and drugs. I guess they're not so new anymore. They've been out for a little while now, but it still seems to be quite the craze, and it's changing the way that a lot of people live their life. So we really know a lot of things like Wegovy and Zepbound, some of the compounded forms that were popular for a while for their weight loss properties, but now people are using them for all sorts of off-label reasons.
Yeah, I've had this kind of interesting because I think the different people have been on them for different reasons, whether they were on it originally for weight loss or on it for true diabetes, but people found some benefits outside of what they originally had planned, and so it's real interesting to hear some of the things. I've had two different patients actually that I would say blame their pregnancy on it, but their pregnancy, being able to get pregnant even on the GLP-1s that they're on. So yeah, so it's interesting to see the benefits of these medications and what all they can do.
I think just for background and for people to know, these medications, like you said, were originally designed for blood glucose control in diabetics. And so they were injectable medications that patients could self-administer once a week and get better control of their blood sugar. We also realize, and there's a lot of studies that come out in looking at this for weight loss. So when we look at medically driven weight loss, so we all of a sudden had this whole class of drugs and medications that patients could use without having to undergo surgery. And we were seeing drastic weight loss with these medications. So literally some patients, more than 100 pounds. And so this changed the way that people in general approached weight loss, but they were quite expensive. Only a few people qualified, and there were shortages of this nationwide. Patients could no longer get access to this either because of cost or because of the lack of medication from the manufacturer, distributor of the products. And so compounding became very popular. So compound pharmacies, I guess for anybody listening that may not be familiar with them, are pharmacies that can make medications that are available on the market in a branded form, but there has to be something different. There has to be a shortage, it has to be in short supply, or they have to compound something different with it. So the available form, it has to be a different strength, a different base formulation, a patient's allergic to something in it. And then the compounding pharmacies could do that. So for a while, these medications were really popular with compounding pharmacies because the manufacturers couldn't keep up with the demand. So there was a short supply. That's changed in the last few months. And so we're having to kind of change how we approach our weight loss patients here at Skin and Tonic. But I know a lot of providers are struggling with this nationwide.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I think providers are struggling with it. I think once the medication becomes unavailable in the way that the patients had been getting it, a panic mode strikes because, like you said, they're getting some surgical type results with these medications without having to go under the knife. And so patients are seeing, they're coming off of blood pressure medicines they've been on for years. Their cholesterol's better than it's been in years. They're feel better. They have more focus. They have all these things. And then all of a sudden they're no longer being able to be compounded. And the out-of-pocket cost for these medications can be upward of $1,000. So one of the things that I think is a little scary, once it came off the compound, the shortage list, and we had to stop compounding it, then people were going through different methods of getting it. And a lot of them are not FDA approved. They're getting them from out of the country, not certain exactly what kind of what they're getting. And I think that's kind of the scary part of it.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things, you know, I think we talk about a lot on here is safety. And we always make sure that, what we're using here at Skin and Tonic is from an approved source, an approved pharmacy. And yes, when we could legally obtain these through compounding pharmacies, we were doing that quite frequently. There are, you know, maybe some exceptions that are coming down the pipeline where they're developing some things that's not available commercially. We'll just have to watch and see how that goes. But it certainly changed the way that we prescribe it. Now, patients need to know that working with the companies direct, they have come up with some programs like Lilly Direct, for instance, with the Zepbound, which is people who are on a compounded medication like tirzepatide. That would be the same thing that we would find in Zepbound, or the same thing that Mounjaro was the other medication for diabetes that patients were using some off-label. So now that's not in short supply anymore, and we can use a program where we actually send a prescription in, and they work with you and send it directly to the patient. Now the cost is definitely higher. I believe the two lower doses are around $350 a month, and the two higher doses they offer are around $500 per month. And that's the patient cost. That doesn't include anything to us. It doesn't include the visit to the provider, but that's pretty much standard what they can do across the U.S. right now. So you can get it from the manufacturer directly if you have a prescriber or a provider that is willing to prescribe your weight loss medications. The really interesting thing, I believe, is we're familiar with, you know, I'm just going to name the drugs so people who are listening that may not know, but it would be Wegovy and Zepbound are the two main ones that we've seen a big use of. And if you looked at compounded forms of those that people were on at some point, semaglutide and tirzepatide were the compounded forms of those medications. Now, what we saw over the course of using these things for weight loss in our practice, not only was pretty drastic results. And so, like you said, there was a lot of improvements in patients' health, but there were also some other kind of maybe unintended consequences that patients were seeing. And I don't think they always put it together with those medications or those drugs. What's some of the weirdest things you've seen with it?
One, I'd say the pregnancy. Mm-hmm. That was pretty unique.
I tried to look that up when you told me about it, and I did a quick search on it before this, and I didn't find any kind of well-described studies on it, but they do have anti-inflammatory properties to them. And so maybe sometimes if there's some inflammatory process that's leading to fertility issues, modulation of that through those properties, maybe that's what's happening. It is fascinating though, because we also talk about it with some of our biostimulants. And there was a concern because of those anti-inflammatory properties, would the biostimulants work? And so when we're doing like medically assisted weight loss programs, and you have patients coming in and they're wanting to do things like Sculptra and trying to maintain that volume in their face, it's been a big debate. Do we do it at the end? Do we do it when they've met their goal? Or do we do it kind of ongoing? And we've changed that over time. And definitely we know now that there are studies that support that it does in fact work. And it's probably better to do this throughout your weight loss journey than to wait until the end of that and try to replace everything. So kind of what we're recommending now here in the practice, and I'd love to hear from you guys if you're doing it, drop a comment below, let us know about it. But we're doing one vial per 20 pounds of weight loss. So if somebody's weight loss goal is 80 pounds, then we know that we're going to estimate that they're going to need at least four vials of Sculptra throughout that to kind of maintain.
I always think it's a disservice not to. I think when you prescribe weight loss medication, we should go ahead and do a vial of Sculptra.
Yeah, just started.
Just let that be part of
the program. Yeah, I mean, we definitely need to talk about it more. We need to have those discussions up front, because we do see that when patients lose this weight, they're like, now we no longer look like the way our face looks. We look older. And so finding some way to mitigate that along the way. What about some of the other things? Have you had anybody talk to you about like changes in like their like alcohol use?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes with the cravings and that. And so we have one patient in particular that just noticed that, I say one patient, I can talk about another, which was my sister, that just noticed that they were drinking less wine, or pour a glass of wine and wouldn't finish the wine. It's almost out of habit. Aubrey, everybody hears me talk about Aubrey from time to time on the podcast. She's my she's my baby sister, but the oldest of the girls and probably one of the craziest humans I know. When she was on weight loss medication, she'd always take it on Sunday. That way, by the time it was time for her to take her next shot, she could enjoy some beer on Saturday. Decreased her desire to have beer and something she opened to on Saturdays. But there are other things out there too. There's some of the stuff related to Alzheimer's being out there. There's a lot of things about
heart disease. But decreased risk of Alzheimer's, not that it causes it.
Right. You know, also you've got the cholesterol, but I don't know that it actually decreases cholesterol. I think it's because it changes your diet habits.
I think one of the things that maybe patients don't put together and that maybe something that we discuss more in the future, we'll see, kind of like we discussed the how to prevent aging changes with weight loss, is going to be some of the other things related to the dopamine and serotonin. So those are kind of some neurotransmitters that are released. And usually those are things that we see with addictive type behaviors or the reward centers of the brain. And with food and with weight, a lot of times that's a problem. And so it's modulating that at that in the neuro level. And so we also see that there's maybe some depression, maybe some what we call anhedonia, or just a general lack of interest in things. Definitely some decrease in maybe like sexual pleasure. So some people that have just a total loss of libido with it. And maybe that is correlated with that. But we can see the converse of that. So if their health improves, they lose weight, they're in better shape, maybe they have an increase. So I think all of those things are there. But if your patients are having some of those symptoms, don't just ignore it. Talk to them about it, because certainly it may be related to how we're changing that dopamine and serotonin, those reward centers, because that's really one of the ways that it's working. I know for me personally, I've been doing this now. I did lose some weight with it, but that wasn't really kind of my goal. I've been using it kind of in a microdose fashion. So do you have anybody now that's interested in the microdosing of it other than me?
Yeah, we actually have several patients that we are microdosing because they tolerate it so much better.
So it's for side effect mitigation.
It is for side effect mitigation, but it's also a little bit about what I was saying with Aubrey, how they would see that the suppression of hunger would start to wane off towards the end of the dose, and doing the microdosing, it's more consistent for them. I would try it. I'm just not that compliant.
So with microdosing, there's a lot of different ways to do it. You can just do a much lower dose on the same frequency, but some people are doing the same cumulative dose, but they're doing smaller doses of that. So let's say, for instance, you were taking 2.5 milligrams per week. Maybe you would take two doses of 0.125, or, you know, three doses of 0.08 or something like that. So you're doing smaller doses on a more frequent to try to maintain the steady level. And some patients report less side effects with that. Now, some of the other kind of aggravating things that people may see with some of these medications and not directly put it together, maybe hair thinning, hair loss. A lot of our patients that are on this, we definitely are doing other things to keep their hair a little bit thicker. But if they look better, they're losing weight, they feel better. We can usually, this is a transient effect. It's usually not something that's permanent, and it's not something that they won't kind of respond to once they get more to a steady state. They usually improve from that. Sometimes when they're initially going on it, maybe some low energy, just feeling tired. That can be one of the things that we see with it. Muscle mass loss. And so maybe when we're doing microdosing, we can mitigate some of that muscle loss, lose more fat without the muscle. But keep in mind, all of these things are not studied. So there is a FDA approved way to use it. That's the way they tell us to prescribe it. And then when we start doing these tiny doses, it's usually working with a provider closely that understands the medication, and they need to understand it thoroughly. So they can then adjust based on your individual needs and try to help you get through some of the side effects and get the benefits that you're looking for.
I think a lot of the side effects that you just mentioned are things that we see even with a diet, a strict diet. And so, you know, it is well studied that if you decrease your food intake, you decrease your protein and you're not exercising, you're going to lose muscle mass. So I don't know that the muscle mass is directly related to the medication or if it's related to changes in your diet. And that's one of the things we do here at the clinic is we don't just prescribe. We always prescribe, and on every visit we talk about exercise. Are they exercising? Have they changed their exercise routine? I mean, we all know that weight loss is a caloric deficit in some way. And so in order to enhance their, even if they're on one of the GLPs, in order to enhance their weight loss, what they need to do is to increase their movement. So anything to decrease that or increase that caloric deficit.
Yeah, so I think it's a new class of medications that, you know, although we've had them around for several years now, they're still relatively new. We're still learning more about them. And I think it'll be really exciting for people to kind of like watch this, see how it goes. I believe in the world of anti-aging medicine and, you know, general health that we'll see maybe some more use of this because of all of the neuroprotective things that we talked about, this decreasing this whole inflammatory response. And so whether it protects from neurodegenerative diseases or slows their progression, we'll see. There's some promising data on that, looking at maybe some of the other neuroendocrine effects on aging and senescent cells. I think there's a lot of stuff that's programmed cell death. That's when our cells kind of over an aging process, they die off. And so how this can kind of help mitigate that, I think it'll be fascinating. I do think it's something we're just scratching the surface of what we can do with this. And we also are starting then to see some in real world cases where there are some kind of weird side effects that maybe we didn't fully appreciate before. And so definitely if you're on one of these and having some strange issues, talk to your provider about it. If you're a provider prescribing these, you know, make sure that you're staying up to date on the literature because there's lots of stuff that are coming out about these every day. So
it's one of those things like we kind of went into it like, I'm not going to say kicking and screaming, but I didn't go into it like extremely excited to do weight loss. But now when, you know, you have that patient come in and they dreaded the first time they got on this scale, they just couldn't stand it. They wouldn't even look at the numbers. And now they're excited to get on the scale and see that they've lost weight. And we have people that have lost like, you know, around 100 pounds. They feel good about themselves. They feel better than they have in years. They'll come in and say, I haven't worn these jeans in 4 years. And, you know, and it's something that may have started just because they were wanted to lose a few pounds for their daughter's wedding or an event. And all of a sudden they've kind of refound themselves. And so that part of it is exciting. So I think it has some mental health benefits as well.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
We'll see you soon.